Hey everybody. we are here for Growing with NTI. Happy Tuesday. Seem like there's a lot going on around here and around everywhere, and everybody's trying to get all packed for Italy. I know I'm preaching to the choir. All y'all are going. But it does seem like there's a lot of tasks to be completed before we can get out of here. And Connie and I have been talking numbers and figures and issues and blah 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 blah. So it's going to take me a second to get settled in here, I think. Oh, huh. Cheryl's taking says she's taking her luggage to the post office tomorrow to get it weighed. Yeah, I
Really?
didn't know they do that. That's great. Yeah, I haven't. Good for you, Cheryl, for being that person, because I haven't. I've bought a. That's nice. I've bought a thing or two, but I haven't gotten any of it in a suitcase yet. So, good for you. Yeah. Ann says she hadn't done it either.
That's sure when she's coming to my house.
Cheryl, Connie wants to know when you're coming to her house. She can hear you.
Cheryl, when you come to my house?
Maybe she can't hear you. She's not talking to you anyway. So, oh, that's true. Cheryl points out that she's also packing up her an apartment. So she's yeah, she, and she's leaving.
She's a packing girl.
She's really packing. Yeah. So she has not written here, Connie, when she's coming to your house, but I'm sure when she. When she chooses to answer that question, I'll tell it to
Hi, Ann. Who else is there?
in March.
March.
I assume y'all are hearing Connie okay. Yeah, they're hearing you. Yeah. Pronto. Is pronto enough information for you, Connie? Cheryl says she'll be there pronto.
Should I go to my door?
Think she means, I'm snorting. I don't think she means that pronto. Oh, shoot. All right.
I think we better say a prayer.
I think we better. So I will do that. So, I know I'm not saying anything. I'm just being quiet for a minute, which is a novel idea around here. So yeah, just to express my gratitude for the stillness that's always here, whether I notice it or not. I want to express my gratitude to a group of mighty companions with which we have joined, which we continue to join, and ask that I can be still enough in the teaching. To hear what needs to be heard and to say what needs to be said and to give what needs to be given. So, again, I have trust and gratitude for everything. Amen.
Yeah, I don't want to correct your prayer, but you might want to ask that for both of us.
Connie says, me too, me too. And so it is. Amen. Cheryl, I think Connie is looking for a date when you will show up knocking on her door. So if you know that date, that would be helpful.
She told me, I just don't remember what it is.
She can't remember the date.
I can't. I think it's like the 7th or so.
November 5th.
There you go, November 5th.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Cheryl.
All right, so let's read us some Hebrews. We are page 399 of Holdridge's interpretation of the New Testament. and here we go. By this time, oh yeah, I love this paragraph, I think. By this time, you recognize that the Son, capital S, Son of which I speak, is you. There were no prophets or angels of heaven. There is only you. How you saw yourself and how you're coming to see yourself now. It is as if you have been on an elevator ride, going up within the awareness of yourself. But the elevator ride is only a rise in awareness, a rise in acceptance. That which you are, you've always been. There is no change within the oneness that is you. I got to tell you that I am, you know, I do love this paragraph. I often refer to this paragraph. You know, nobody's coming in to save you. It's all been talking about you the whole time. And I do appreciate that paragraph. I got to tell you that on reading it in this moment, I am really surprised to see this reference to an elevator ride. Because what springs immediately to my mind, Connie, is when you and I were standing in the parking lot at outside of Saffron's restaurant there in Louisville?
Yeah.
And I was like, and we were talking about an elevator ride and just being real impatient. I don't know, real impatient for the ride to finish. Does any of that sound familiar to you?
No, I'm sorry. If I think of an elevator ride, I think a revolver.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. It's just like I remember making the analogy at that time about like being on an elevator ride. So it's just interesting to see it referred to this way. And I think the revolver analogy is a good one, you know, because that's exactly what he does on that elevator ride, right? He directly confronts, you know, it's a rise in awareness.
And what I've got written here referring to the last sentence, and it sounds like something like your guidance, actually. Doesn't sound like something I'd have to do on my own. But it says, it says, there is no change within the oneness that is you. And I have written here, it's a recognition.
Yeah.
So that's why there's no change.
Right. Right.
Which is really cool. It's because you're just coming into the recognition of who you are.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, now I finally completed these, you know, 12 tasks and therefore I'm now deserving. Of,
exactly.
Yeah. Or,
it's not even grace. It's just because you're just recognizing who you are. And it might be grace that you're coming into that recognition.
Right. But you're not becoming something other than what you've always been.
Yes.
You're just coming to see it.
Yes, coming to recognize it.
Yeah. Verse 5 says, when has the Father ever indicated for even a moment that today you are different than you were yesterday?
That's just so loving, isn't it? You've always been great, you know?
Right? Never has the Father indicated this. You are the one who has said, I am changing. But this change you seem to experience is not a change in what you are at all. It is only a growing awareness of what has always been. You are awakening to the truth of what you are.
Yeah, this doesn't say I was disappointed in you, but now you're starting to get it, so okay.
All right, I'll talk to you now. You're starting to get it, yeah.
Now you're worth talking to.
Yeah, yeah. Cheryl says it's nothing to think about. It's a direct moment-to-moment awareness. Anne says, grace doesn't make it so. It may allow the self-realization. Yeah.
Yes.
Verses 6 to 9, you rise above your own thoughts, your misperceptions of yourself, and through awareness of what is true, and through awareness that the false was never true, you anoint yourself with the oil of your own joy. And now you see.
You know, I always, this paragraph makes me think of when I was at the academy, I was having those mystical experiences. They would always come in the morning before I was fully cognitive. And in hindsight, it's like, oh yeah, before my thoughts came in and I had these egoic thoughts about being bad or unworthy or whatever the egoic thoughts are. So I was so caught up in a whole community of the divinity, you know, I was hearing it, but to avoid those thoughts, they had to come early in the morning before that full recognition of egoic self came into play.
Yeah, in fact, you talked about how you would hear sometimes, she's back in the morning.
She's waking up. And only in the physical sense were they not.
Right. This is at the bottom of 399. And now you see all that you have known beyond the thoughts that cloud the mind is emerging as the truth you have always known. So I'm going to read that again. All that you have known beyond the thoughts that cloud the mind is emerging as the truth you have always known. You are eternal. This personality is not you. This world is not you. Not even these interruptions are able to define you as you. They are all temporal, an experience of the imagination of mine. They shall pass, and you shall still be you as you have always been and as you shall forever be.
Well, that's comforting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not like, Thanks, Cheryl.
Yes, Cheryl, well, I don't appreciate that, because I don't want that first part that I said on the radio to...
Oh, stop, Connie. Connie's trying to be a troublemaker. All right. Let's see, and Cheryl's talking about this, this paragraph. She likes the first paragraph, the one that we just read, I think. This personality is not you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was going to say. Is that the one you're talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I was saying, Cheryl, that that last sentence, talking about all the girl stuff, that they shall pass and you shall still be you as you've always been. And as you shall forever be, what a comfort that is. Because I think a lot of us have angst about non-existence, about death, and what that means for for existence. So so this is real sweet. This is real comforting to say, you know, these other things are going to pass, but you've always been and you'll always be. Not, you know, not you, the personality, Connie or Cheryl or any of that.
Yeah, life is, right? I mean, where are you going to go? Gosh, who was it? Was it Buddha or Ramana that said that to his adherents? He was passing. They're like, you know, we don't want you to go. And he's like, go? Where would I go? There's nowhere to go. Right? Life is. Gina talking about this on, I don't know, maybe a Guiding Light program. It's like the personality that you are is not going to continue, of course. About the whole idea of being fed back into the ball of dough is the way she uses it. I've heard it talked about in terms of like, it's like ice cubes in a bathtub. You scoop out an ice cube tray full of ice cubes, and you got those individual, you know, those represent the individual selves. And at the end of those individual selves, it goes right back in the bathtub, and then you scoop out another one, you know, so you're not going to get the same scoop every time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So life is, and life will always be. And, this personality is not you. The world's not you. Not even the interactions are able to define you as you, right? They are all temporal. An experience of the imagination, of mind, of the one mind. They shall pass, and you shall still be you as you've always been and as you shall forever be. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there in that idea. I mean, it's like, well, you can't mess it up. You absolutely can't mess it up. You can't really, you can't become enlightened as we have thought of enlightenment. You know, it's not something that's achieved. You know, it's not even something that has to be done. It's it's a service to the mind in that it alleviates suffering. And so you may experience the awakening mind as alleviating the suffering that you would experience without being awakened to, it's like Byron Katie talks about, you know, you're enlightened to one painful thought at a time, right?
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of like that recognition that we're talking about there.
Right.
You know, it's just a, there's just a recognition, moment by moment recognition, one painful thought overcome at a time.
Right.
You know, when I talk about all the different thoughts that are going on here, I remember when you spoke a couple weeks ago, and I'm not sure where it was, if it's this class or what, and we're referring to karma or reincarnation, I was so surprised that I was still caught up in thinking that, you know, that the individual would come back mm-hmm. and try and get it right. But that's just an old thought. It seems like it ought to be correct because it was a spiritual thought, but it was still elite because there is no individual personality to come back and get anything right.
Right. Yeah. At the same time, one of the wise men. I should start writing this down, I guess, if I can get it right, because I'm always like, oh, I don't know, it's Ramana or Buddha or somebody. I think it was Ramana.
I don't think they care.
Yeah, they certainly don't care. Who's they? But the point I'm trying to make is one of them said, you know, the greatest service you can render is your own awakening. A Course in Miracles, of course, says it as the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is, you know, accepting the atonement for oneself. But it's service to the one mind. So it's the one mind awakening to itself. There's a reason I went down this road. Let me see if I can pull this together. Pursuing enlightenment, pursuing the true desire of your heart is helpful in both this temporal experience that we seem to be having, and we are having, this temporal experience, you know, it's impossible to alleviate my own suffering and not alleviate suffering for all. Right? There's only one mind. Then that one mind suffers or it doesn't, right? So the one mind has the experience of suffering or it has the experience of not suffering.
Yeah, so, and I don't know if this is what you're saying or not, but it's kind of like David Hawkins talking about how one enlightened mind would negate, you know, 1,000 people being unworthy.
Right.
Having
those feelings of unworthiness, I guess. Yeah.
Or with the mind, I guess that is.
Yes. So, I'm not sure that was a full thought or even whether that was worth making, a point worth making, but that's what was coming. As I tried to state it, it came out kind of convoluted, so hope you were able to follow it. There's somebody on my roof. Is it Christmas time already?
Oh.
Yeah. Alright, here we go. So let me just read the next paragraph here. That recognition that feels this truth, that is the edge of the awareness of you. It is there in your awareness now. It has always been there, a part of your core knowledge. It has never doubted itself. It has always been the same. That recognition that feels this truth, that is the edge of the awareness of you. It is there in your awareness now. It has always been there, a part of your core knowledge. It has never doubted itself. It has always been the same. Rejoice. This knowledge, which you are aware of, is your truth. This is the knowledge of you. Every step has been a stepping stone within awareness only. There is no change. You are eternally, lovingly, and perfectly whole as you are now.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is like what you talked about last week, and I've heard you talk about on many an occasion, Connie. It's this knowledge, this longing that we experience. The way in which we experience the true desire of our heart, you know, that is the knowledge of who we are. If that knowledge didn't reside somewhere within us, then there would be no longing. There would be nothing to reach for. You know, there would be no desire to reach for it, and nothing to reach for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and what we're all we're reaching for is awareness of what's already true.
Yeah, it's just we're reaching for the awareness of what's already true. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Our concepts, our roles, those things have we've let that negate our truth in our thinking mind.
Yeah, we just gets distracted, right? We just our focus gets a little off. All right, we're at on page 400 of the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. NTI Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 2. Knowing the truth, you must pay careful attention to your mind. To sleep while you are awakening will seem to cause great sadness, because it is awakening that is your heart's desire. Accept the state of mind that you now experience. Be joyful regarding the awakening that is occurring. Let the awakened mind lead in all things, and the sleeping mind will join the purpose of awakening. If you're not going to stop me, I'm going to just keep reading. As Cheryl says, and that too shall pass. Accept the state of mind that you now experience. Be joyful regarding the awakening that is occurring. Let the awakened mind lead in all things, and the sleeping mind will join the purpose of awakening. The mind is split, but this split is not to be mourned, for the split is but an illusion in the state of awakening. Awaken the mind by being gentle to the split. Whisper quietly to it that which is your true desire, and it shall respond naturally by opening its eyes unto you. You know, we're beginning to get, maybe beginning to get this whole, you know, be gentle with yourself thing. There seems to be some, do not do that. I'm getting that message again. We're going to restart your computer. So now I got to go view my settings. So I apologize. Blah, 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 blah. Restart required. Do not do that. I don't know when it's going to do that. So, good time. 6:04 p.m. today. That would be a terrible time. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, you guys. This is this seems to happen during this teaching time. So let me pick another time. Let me just make it 5 a.m. God knows I will not be up at 5 a.m. Some of you guys are, but not Jacqueline. It can restart at 5 a.m. tomorrow. All right. Okay, so it's talking about not only about being gentle with yourself, which again we'll begin to figure out that that's the best policy, but it also seems to be saying don't be distressed when you find when you find the split mind, but really just accept that that it is what it is. That we are in our awakening where we are. And be grateful for the awakening that is occurring. Be joyful regarding the awakening that is occurring. Just remember to do whatever to in order to let the awakening mind lead. So when I say do whatever, I mean to choose the higher vibrational thought. Use all the tools that we are learning and we've learned to choose the higher vibrational thought to recognize when we're telling ourselves stories. To look at what we're clinging to or attempting to avoid. Before we started tonight, Connie and I were talking about this silly house stuff again. And I say silly because it seems to take, and so it's distracting. And it just seems to take such... It seems to have such a large footprint. it seems to take a toll. And so for me, it's like I recognize the split because I'm attempting to turn this stuff over to follow guidance. To not try and figure it out all out on my own. At the same time, I'm going, I got obligations here that got to be met. You know, I got people who are counting on me.
I think you're talking about the split.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's all well and good for me to go and deal with this on my own, but then I got to call people, people I owe money to, people I've borrowed money from, stuff like that, and say, oh, you know what? Holy Spirit said, don't worry about it. Right? It's like, well, so it's just like integrating. It's like trying to integrate with this advice, right? So, Cheryl says the ego can only survive if we give it the attention it needs to stay alive. Okay, I'll buy that. It leaves me. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, this is if there's not a lot of stress in your life.
Say again?
This seems easy. If there's not a lot of stress in your life, reading this seems to, when you read it, you go, sure. if you find yourself in what seems stressful situations, it's like the clarity, when you're having the stressful experience, the clarity doesn't necessarily seem to be there. So you have to fall back on your faith, on your trust,
Yeah.
And for some of us, for some people, particularly people that don't have the spiritual inclination, they don't get that whole concept of faith anyway. So the further we move from that, from our spiritual path, the more difficult that faith becomes.
Yeah.
So, it's what we were talking about before. It's being awakening one thought at a time.
And Kathy says it's like a whole ball game. And Cheryl says, so when the mind is experiencing fear regarding a situation you're in, to literally give it over and ask for strength to see what the hidden beliefs we hold. What does this say about me, for example? I don't, you know what? And this is getting nitty gritty, but let me be clear. I don't care what y'all think about me. You know, I don't care what Connie thinks about me. I don't care what Cheryl thinks about me. I don't care what Ann thinks about me. I don't care what Marge thinks about me. Seriously, this is a, I know, I'm sure. This is a, I have made promises. Right? So it's not, do you think I've handled this well or should I have done something different? This is how do, so right this minute, Holy Spirit has me on hold. Well, we'll see. Well, okay. So if I owe somebody $50 and Holy Spirit says, well, we'll see, right? I owe him $50 and I was supposed to pay him last month. And Holy Spirit says, just wait, we'll see. So what do you do? How do you go to that person and say, you know what? Just wait. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And that was my point in that without those stressful situations, this seems like a breeze.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
But we're not, we're living in a vacuum. We're living in a, we're living with these life, what seems to be these life experiences. And, you know, and all our cliches, even our spiritual cliches, don't really get it.
Yeah, I mean, even for me, I mean, again, it's not like, well, does that make me come off looking responsible? No. Does Susie Q get her $50? Right? It's like, I don't care how I look in the scenario. Right? She needs her $50. Does she get her $50? That's the issue. So it's just very, it's very difficult to, and here's the other thing, though, and I will tell you this. I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and they were like, well, you know, I could wish I could do this and that, but, you know, it's just impossible. And I said, well, wait a minute. So now I'm going to argue the other side of this, y'all. I'm like, I think you're defining what's possible and what's impossible. You know, you're the one that says you have to have so much money in order to make your dreams come true, right? Maybe you need to, and this is this making about half this story up, but maybe you need to sell your Porsche and then you would have enough money, right? I mean, it's like you set up the parameters and then go, oh, but it's impossible. You know, I can't afford to buy two cars for my kids. You could if you sold your Porsche, but, you know, you are the one who sets this stuff up and then goes, oh, I can't do it. So we build these boxes and say, I can't get out of this box.
Yeah, and that's why it has to be turned over to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we get a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Tell me now.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to know right now.
I can't hear you. Speak up louder.
Yeah, not knowing right now is very, very stressful. Well, too bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because once again, it's one of our parameters.
Yeah. I need to know. Because Susie Q needs to know. Right? The Susie Q, the loaner of the
$50. A little bit. The Holy Spirit's going to address a little bit of this.
Oh, well, maybe we ought to let him.
All right. Come on, Holy Spirit. We need
all right.
Now.
Come on. Come quickly. Let's see. All right. So, the mind is split, but this split is not to be mourned, for the split is but an illusion in the state of awakening. Awaken the mind by being gentle to the split. Whisper quietly to it that which is your true desire, and it shall respond naturally by opening its eyes unto you.
Yeah, and our true desire is happiness. Our true desire is extending the love of God.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah. this seems to be a little problem within that, is all I'm saying. So there's a greater picture, is all I'm saying.
Sure.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
One mind is as it is. One spirit is only one. There is no separation. Rejoice at this fact and sing loudly your hymns of gratitude. The sleeping mind is awakening, and it will join in the singing with you. The awakened mind is one with the sleeping mind. In this way, you may see them as brothers. The awakened mind is one with the sleeping mind. In this way, you may see them as brothers. One has awakened unto the light and is joyous and grateful. The other still suffers within its dreams. But the awakened mind and the sleeping mind are not separate. Both are within your mind in this state of awakening. Both are you, and both are led through your realization of truth. Let the awakened mind dance within your awareness, and the sleeping mind shall rouse itself within your hymns of joy. This is the miracle of awakening. It is by your choice that awakening to awareness shall occur. Yeah, and you know, I think that this, I don't know that this addresses what I was whining about earlier, I don't know how much it addresses that. It's certainly not that there's this great battle going on between between the awakened mind and the sleeping mind. You know, it's not a battle. How could it be a battle? How can oneness battle with itself? It can't be. So even the view that there's this something that needs to be, and Cheryl was saying this a while ago, that there's something that needs to be eradicated or rejected, or you know, it's just that way of viewing what's occurring here is not helpful.
Well, I think you and I were talking earlier. There does seem to be a split sometimes, and we acknowledge that. I was telling you that a friend of mine said, you know, crazy's not crazy all the time. Mm-hmm. So we have times when we're in our right mind, and then obviously there's times that we're not in our right mind, and that's what we're calling the split.
Right.
Are we not?
That is what we're calling the split, yes.
Right. And I believe that this, Hebrews chapter 2 is saying, you know, whisper quietly to it your true desire, and it shall respond. Sing loudly your hymns of gratitude. You know, I guess as long as we want to look at this as a path, or as something that we're progressing down, that's the way we're going to experience it. Most of us do it that way instead of having that experience on the park bench.
Yeah. Well, and I can tell you that in I was going to say my more lucid moments, but I really don't think that's the right description. It's in my times of awakening. You know, I think most of us have these awakening moments. I mean, just moments of perfect clarity. You know, whether it's that day I was laying in the pool and got the oneness of everything, you know, that experience that I've told you about, you know, that it's just like boom, boom, and just a larger and a larger and a larger understanding of oneness. The experience of the truth of my being that I had at the Enlightenment intensive, or experience of the truth of my being that I had with John Mark Stroud at the retreat at the Franciscan Retreat Center. In those moments, the clarity was, it doesn't matter. I mean, there was nothing to truly. I mean, you know, all these pithy sayings that we have, and you know, they're pithy. We pick them out one at a time. Oh, that was weird. Oh, that's weird. That's not my ringtone. So I don't know. Oh, you know what? That's like WhatsApp. It's doing that. Ah, weird. The point being, in moments of true clarity, and I mean true clarity, when it was like when I'm absolutely conversant with the truth of me, I don't give a shit whether Susie Q gets paid back or not. You know, it's not callousness, but it's like, it's just like, you know, I don't care whether I go to work the next day. I don't care whether the bills get paid. I don't, you know, it's not, and I don't care is really poor way of saying it, because it's, again, it's not a, sorry about your luck. You know, it's not a callousness. It's a, it's real, 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 genuine recognition of the, that all of that stuff is absolutely 100% irrelevant. It's irrelevant. You know, it'll work out or it won't, but it's irrelevant. And I can go on and say that five more times, and it may not make it any clearer. But it's not like it loses all. It's not like, well, that might work out and be okay, or this might be okay, or, you know, it's like, it's nothing like that at all. It's like, I don't know. It's like me trying to have a very serious talk with you, you know, like trying to tell your relative has died or something, and you going, yeah, but did you notice that the daisies bloomed earlier this year? I mean, it's that irrelevant, you know? It's like, or that guy on What the Bleep, where he said it's like asking the marital status of the number 5. I mean, it just doesn't compute. And so in my most lucid moments, in my periods of awakening, saying, gee, what are you going to do about your mortgage? You know, gee, what are you going to do about your financial situation? Would be just like asking me, gee, do you think the number 5 is single or married? I mean, it just doesn't even, it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't compute any way, shape, or form. So there's a, yeah, my phone got excited, Meg says. She's on to it. So again, it's not unlike the story I was telling about, you know, talking with a friend going, hey, you're the one setting up the parameters here, and then going, pointing to the parameters and going, look, this makes it impossible. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's absolutely the same thing. It's like, you know, you, again, surprise, surprise, you know, you just need to change your focus here. And it's like, what do you mean change my focus? Susie Q still has to get paid, right? You know, I still have to figure out, you know, my financial situation. So, I'm glad my phone was excited because I'm excited once I talk through that. I think that it's, well, I think that it's real instructive because it talks about the recognition of the truth being the leading edge and allowing that part of you, the part that gets excited, the part that that knows the truth, that knows that these are, you know, like talking about the marital status of the number five or like talking about the daisies blooming early this year. You know, the recognition of the truth of who I am knows that these things have been elevated to a artificial level of importance. Yeah, right?
Yeah, an artificial status.
Yeah, and because I'm seeing from my box, I can't see the artificiality of them, right? I can't see beyond that artificiality. I'm like, you know, you can't see how big this thing is. Look! Right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course, and God and the Course in Miracles is going to talk about that as the illusionary state.
Right.
It's a part of the illusion.
It's part of the illusion. And it doesn't seem like an illusion when they put the eviction notice on your door, right?
Yes, exactly.
Your boss says you're fired or, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't feel like an illusion at that point.
No.
But it's the... it's the temporal. It's where do I choose to place my focus? Moreover, and there's more to it than that, because that's when you go back to what you were talking about a moment ago, you know, to that trust issue. I'm reminded of the, of course, my mind thinks in terms of movies. I'm reminded of the movie Shakespeare in Love. We're all through the movie, this guy's like, it'll all work out. And the question they keep asking him, how's it going to work out? And he's like, I don't know. It's a mystery. You know, it's a mystery. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the faith.
That's the faith. Yeah.
That's a faith that this is just a... This is part of the temporal, and has very little to do with the eternal.
Yeah.
And when we know that, our suffering can be lessened.
Let me read those last couple of, I'll just read that last couple of paragraphs. This is the bottom of 400 NTI, Hebrews chapter 2. The awakened mind is one with the sleeping mind. In this way, you see them as brothers. One has awakened unto the light and is joyous and grateful. The other still suffers within its dreams. The awakened mind and the sleeping mind are not separate. Both are within your mind in this state of awakening. Both are you. And both are led through your realization of truth. Let the awakened mind dance within your awareness, and the sleeping mind shall rouse itself within your hymns of joy. This is the miracle of awakening. You know, again, it's like, where's your focus? Where's your focus? Focus on the dancing, awakening mind. And this will rouse the sleeping mind. This will shake it from its notions that it knows what the hell's important. You know, it will allow it to loosen the grip, right? Let the awakened mind dance in your awareness, and the sleeping mind shall rouse itself within your hymns of joy. You know, if the waking mind is dancing, it wakes the whole house up. Cheryl says, into this state as we move through this pain, the split phase. Let the awakened mind dance within your awareness, and the sleeping mind shall rouse itself within your hymns of joy. This is the miracle of awakening. It is by your choice that awakening to awareness shall occur. Okay. All right, what do you want to say to the nice people before we go, Connie?
Well, I like this, what it says. This is a miracle of awakening. You know, it's just, as you say, where's your focus? There's another way to perceive this mission that seems to be causing me suffering and misery. And that's God's promise that the miracle is available, which is a different perception, a truer perception. And for that, we can be very grateful.
Amen. Okay, guys, we're out of time, so we're gonna stop here and thank you all here with us. Thank you for letting us be on this journey with you, and we will see you again this time next week.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.